Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. You can find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
Good morning. I love in that song, it talks about the birds, their praises ring. Just this last week, I was sitting out on our back porch having a conversation with someone, and they said to me, "Are you in a bird exhibit somewhere?" Because the birds outside of our house, it really is as if you stepped into a bird exhibit at the zoo. They are so loud and so prevalent, and they are just, and our backyard is little, and so they're just like all around our backyard. So if you're ever on the phone with me, I'm in the backyard, you'll know, because the birds, it's like they want to have a conversation with you. So that's what I was thinking up, that image, as we sang that song. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at John 3. So we just celebrated Easter last weekend. Jesus died on the cross. And we are following that up with a series on who did he die on a cross for? For all people. And so we're going to talk about what does that mean? What does that look like? How does that affect us? So over the next 3 weeks, be here with us and join us in this. Hopefully 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a surprise for you and have a special guest, not in the building, but called into the building. So I'm going to leave that at that. You'll see who it is in a couple of weeks. We're hoping to be able to connect with somebody that we're excited about. But so be a part of this with us. We're gonna, as we talk about what does this mean. I've asked Taylor Pack to come up and join me this morning and read a passage of scripture. Thank you. Taylor's amazing. I love our teenagers. If y'all don't know that, we have a great group of teenagers at this church. So this morning, Taylor's going to read to us from John 3, verses 1 through 17.
There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miracle signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again, born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives us birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." Amen. "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, You are a respected Jewish teacher, yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we want you to know and have seen, yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world, and he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen. Thank you, Taylor. Hey, Taylor, who did God send his only Son for?
Us.
Just us in this room?
Everyone.
That's right. Thank you, Taylor. All right. How many of you have ever seen a magic trick and wondered how the person doing the magic trick did it? All right, how many of you, maybe this was you, maybe you have a child who has done this, but you went home and you pulled out that deck of cards and tried to do that trick over and over again, trying to figure out how that person did that magic trick, right? Did you ever get frustrated? Like, I just want to know how they did it. Yeah. I'm not the one who wants to sit and figure it out. I'm just like, just tell me how you did it. I'm not going to try and figure it out. Jeremy, he's all about that. Like, oh, let me figure this out. And I'm like, just tell me. But this is what happened with the religious leaders is like what happens when we see a magic trick and we don't understand it. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. He wasn't necessarily doing a magic trick, but what he was doing did not make sense to them. And it was frustrating them, and it was agitating them. And so in this passage, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he approaches him, and he talks to Jesus. And he's so baffled by what Jesus said. And he's really frustrated, and he sensed that God had sent Jesus to do some great things, but he was questioning, but how? And then he really is baffled at how can a person who's grown go back into their mother's womb and be born again? It did not make sense to him what Jesus was talking about, and it frustrated him. Man-made rules and religious law caused religious leaders to have a skewed understanding of God's love for all people and God's grace for them. Jesus told Nicodemus that God so loved who? The world. He didn't say God so loved the Jews or God so loved the Gentiles. He said God so loved the world. He also said that believing in him could have eternal life. I was hoping to have a small bridge today. I wanted to have it up here in front of us, but we'll have to settle for this picture that I have on the screen right now. So we have this bridge, and if you look, there's a trail on the other side of that bridge, right? On one side of the bridge, on the side of the bridge where you can't really see what's before it, God is there on that side of the bridge, and that bridge represents Christ and his death on the cross. And then there's that trail, and the religious leaders would look at that trail and they would see it leading to a specific group of people who were deemed worthy of Jesus and of Christ and of redemption. But God stands on the other side of that bridge and he looks across it, and that bridge, you know where that leads? To all people. Not just to one specific group of people or one kind of person. God looks at that. Anyone who steps onto that path can meet God through Christ on that path. So that path is a lot bigger. Right now, for us, it looks like a winding trail that's small that only goes to a certain place. And God says, but that trail goes, the whole world is at the end of that trail. It doesn't matter your status. The death of Christ on the cross makes room for every person to have life. The religious leaders were getting upset with Jesus for eating with sinners and tax collectors and people of questionable reputation. They were frustrated at everything he did. They were mad at when he healed and who he healed and how he healed. They're just mad. You ever get mad? All of us get mad. They're mad. They're frustrated. They don't understand. It can be frustrating. And they're just trying to grasp what's happening here. And John 3:17 says, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save it. The religious leaders had already condemned people. They had decided, you're worthy, you're not, you're worthy, you're not. You're worthy because of what you do, you're not worthy because of what you do. The religious And we don't want to get stuck. I don't get to choose I don't get to pick and choose who goes to heaven and or not. And I don't get to decide on this side of heaven who I think is even worthy of being considered for going to heaven. God's grace and God's love are bigger than our human minds can fathom. Sometimes that can frustrate us, right? When God's grace is so big, we can look at that and go, but God, that person, are you sure? Are you sure that person's worthy? And we begin to act like those religious leaders. We don't get to act like judge and jury this side of heaven. We're not supposed to be preaching a message of condemnation, but rather a message of hope and love through Christ. Others might view it as condemnation, but that's between them and Jesus. Don't get caught up on trying to fix people and clean them up. We need to lead them to Jesus and let him work in their heart and in their life. When people's hearts are surrendered to God, guess what he's going to do? He's going to clean out their junk closets. That comes in time when our hearts are surrendered to Christ. I've seen people in the church act like religious leaders at different times. Oh, that person's got a closet full of junk. Oh, did you know about their hidden closet over there? I don't think that person should get to do this because they, with a whole list of things. There's a difference between helping a person clean out their junk closet and just judging and talking about their junk. There are times when we're helping someone, when we're walking through life with someone, we are going to get to help them as Christ is working in their heart and in their life. I have seen some times in my life where I've seen people call out someone's junk, if you will, or label their closet of hidden sins, all the while doing their best to hide their own closet. And then all of a sudden it comes out and everybody around them is like, oh, wait, you were the one pointing fingers at everybody else. I saw this happen when I was in high school. I had a group of friends, and I remember these friends talking about all of the things. I went to a Christian school growing up, and sometimes Christian schools can have reputations, and let's be real, people are human. Even in Christian schools, they're not perfect, okay? So bear with me on this for just a minute, because I learned a lot, and I grew a lot, and I loved my school. But people had some pretty judgmental attitudes sometimes. I remember my friends labeling everyone else's sins. And then I remember sitting around in a room after graduation. I can tell you where we sat in the circle that night. As we sat in the circle, and it was like, I don't know what even brought this on, but it was like a tell-all session. You ever had one of those with your friends? So it was a tell-all session. And they just begin to talk about all of the things that they did through high school. I sat there grieving in my heart because these same friends who were so judgmental of some other people were the very ones who were doing some of that stuff themselves. They just hid it from everyone else. Your sin is sin, whether it's public or private. We like to label people's sin and put a degree of sin, and God says sin is sin. I just had a conversation with someone recently, and it frustrated them really bad. Because they're like, but this person, I'm like, but we don't get to choose. We don't get to say that sin is worse than this one. My sin in my life is the same as that one. Your sin in your life is the same as that one that you put up here on a pedestal and say, oh, that's sin. Sin is sin. So I walked away from that really disappointed, like, oh my goodness, like what just happened? We need to be careful that we're not so focused on everybody else's junk that we miss the junk piling up in our own closets. Jesus didn't come to condemn all people. He came to save all people. And if God loves everyone and he says that salvation is for everyone, then we're supposed to live like Jesus, then guess what? We got to love. We got to offer Jesus to everyone, even those who we might deem not worthy of it. There's a song, and I've talked about it several times to people over the last month, that has just been messing with me as I've listened to the words of this song. The song is called Available. I'm gonna read you some of the words from the song, and then we're gonna talk about it for just a minute, and then I'm actually gonna play it for you. But this is what it says. It says, narrow as the road may seem, I will follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call. I'm available. I say, yes, Lord, I'm available. This is the image I love. Here I am with open hands, counting on your grace again. How many of us are glad God's grace comes again and again and again? Less of me and more of you. I just want to see you move. And then it repeats and it says, for the one who gave me life, for you, nothing is a sacrifice. Use me as you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. Yes, Lord, I am available. So as I play this song, I want you to listen to it, and I want you to ask yourself the question, are you available? Are you willing to say yes to all people? Are you willing to open your hands and your arms and your hearts, allowing God's grace to move you to love all people? Do you want to see Jesus move in our world? If you do, then it starts with you. It starts with us taking that message of Jesus to all people, people who look different than us, people who speak different languages than us, people who live different lifestyles than us, and people who have vastly different beliefs than we do. All people need Jesus. We do not get to choose who's too far gone. And we do not get to decide who we think doesn't really even want to hear about Jesus. Our job is to share, to live and to love and to share God's love with others. As the song plays, I want you just to listen. If you stand there this morning, as you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? That's me. I've been judgmental of other people. I struggle to love others as Christ does. Maybe there's someone specific in your life who you have a hard time loving that person. Maybe it's a whole group of people. I don't know who it is, but if you're saying this morning, I have a hard time loving someone, these altars are going to be open during this song. I invite you, come. If you're at home and you're listening this morning, find yourself on your knees right where you are and just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I don't love the way that you do. You might need to lay down your tendency to be judge and jury of others. Listen as this song plays.
for the one who gave me life. Nothing is a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord, I am available.
John 3:16. It's a Bible verse a lot of us learn as kids in kids' church, if we go to church as kids. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There have been people in my life who I thought were too far gone. There might still be. But God. One of those I prayed for years as a kid, because I desperately wanted my uncle to know Jesus. And then I got a letter in the mail one day. Guys, I was a bold little kid sometimes to say things to people who, it just amazes me, but I remember saying to my uncle one time before I left his house, I said, I hope you get to know Jesus one day. Ugh. But he sent me a letter. And he said, your prayers are not in vain. I still remember getting that letter in the mail. I sat and just wept. Your prayers are not in vain. Who is that person in your life that you just say, I just keep praying and nothing changes? Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop loving them to Jesus. Don't look at their lifestyle and say they're too far gone. Hang in there. I want you to open your envelopes. There's an envelope under every one of your seats. I want you to pull it out. Jeremy, can you hand me one of those? You can leave your envelope. We'll take it back and reuse it again if you want later, but I want you to open that envelope and pull out what's in there. You're going to find a bracelet in there. Your bracelet has one red bead on it. Somebody want to grab a couple and run back, a couple back to our guys in the sound booth so they have one too. Okay. One red bead. Your red bead symbolizes two things. The first thing that red bead symbolizes is love. God's love for all the world. God's love for everyone. Everyone. Not just one person, not just one group. God's love for everyone. And then the second thing that bead symbolizes is the blood of Christ on the cross for everyone to have that life. So if God can love everyone, then so can we. So I would challenge you this. Take your bracelet, tie it on your wrist if you want, hang it in your car, put it on your desk at work, put it in a place maybe where you'll see it, where you struggle to love people like God does. And make that a reminder to you that God loves all people. Amen. If God loves people that much, then guess what? We should be too. Stand with me this morning. That song said, here I am with open arms. Put your hands out, please. Or hold a baby with your arms out. That's okay. Hands out. Are you willing to love and to accept what Christ is calling you to? May the grace of God go with you this week. And may you find yourself looking at others through the eyes of Christ and not your own eyes. May you keep your hands open and available to all that Christ calls you to this week. And as you go, may you be a blessing. And in return, may you be blessed. Until we meet again, have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love for you to join us in person. Our address is 2022 East Main Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. If you'd like to make a donation to keep our podcast ministry going, you can do so online at reallifecommunity.org/give. Thanks again for listening.